Hello, and welcome to the Designing with Love podcast. I am your host, Jackie Pellegrin, where my goal is to bring you information, tips, and tricks as an instructional designer. Hello, GCU students and alumni. Welcome to episode 17 of the Designing with Love podcast. In this episode, I will cover the benefits of creating a facilitation plan when designing a learning experience in any industry, whether it is K-12 education, higher education, corporate training, nonprofit training, or military training. As a facilitator or instructor, it is essential that you have a plan in place for teaching your learners what they need to know and do upon completion of the learning experience. By creating a facilitation plan, this allows you to ensure that you have everything you need to successfully deliver the training to your learners. This episode will cover five main areas that you should include in your facilitation plan, along with how to properly review and adjust as needed, and what else to consider. The tips outlined are from an article posted in the LinkedIn community. In the show notes, I have provided a link to the article so that you can explore the content further and read insights from others in the LinkedIn community. Because that's what we're here for after all, right? Is to learn from each other. So first, you'll need to know your purpose. Before you begin designing your facilitation plan, you need to ensure that you clearly identify the purpose of your facilitation. Here's some key questions you can ask yourself during this phase. What am I trying to achieve? What are the desired outcomes and outputs I want my learners to achieve? And finally, how will I measure success with my learners and my facilitation? By knowing your purpose up front, this will help you define the scope, format, and duration of your facilitation, in addition to the roles and responsibilities of everyone involved. I would highly recommend documenting the questions and responses so that you can refer back to them from time to time as you create and test your facilitation plan. Because no facilitation plan is ever perfect. There's always room for growth. Now that you have clearly identified the purpose of your facilitation, the next step is to understand your audience. I think this is one of the most important, in my opinion, because if you don't understand your audience, then you're not going to create a great facilitation plan or a great training for that matter. Some key questions you can ask in this step are as follows. Who are they? What are their backgrounds, interests, and expectations? What are their needs, challenges, and motivations? And finally, how do they prefer to learn and interact with the content, each other, and the facilitator? Now, see how I talked about the interacting part? So it's not only just the content, but how do they interact with each other? How do they interact with you, the facilitator? That's important because collaboration is so important with today's learning. Learners don't just want to be talked at, right, in a training. They want to be able to have that back and forth and that collaborative learning. So asking these specific questions will help you tailor your facilitation plan to your learner's level of knowledge, skills, and engagement. Again, I would recommend documenting these questions and your responses so that you can come back to them from time to time. If you are having a difficult time fully understanding your audience, it might be beneficial to also complete an empathy map so that you can understand your learner's journey and what they need and want from the training. If you've done the empathy map and you're still not sure, maybe it's time to do a needs analysis and interview your learners or conduct a survey and see exactly what your learners want and need from the training. Now that you have a clear purpose and a good understanding of your audience, you can choose the methods and tools that best suit your facilitation. There are many facilitation plans to choose from, such as brainstorming, voting, storytelling, role-playing, games, surveys, and so much more. So make sure to do some research on these type of facilitation plans to see what's going to fit best for your type of training. The key is to select the plans that match your objectives, audience, and context, and allow you to create the balance between structure and flexibility, information and interaction, and fun and learning. because that's the key right there. You want to create proper balance. How you choose your methods and tools will also depend on the delivery method. For example, is your facilitation being delivered in person, online, or in a blended format? Knowing this will allow you to select the appropriate methods and tools that will work best for your delivery method. So make sure to know this early on, so that way you're making materials and the instruction to best suit that type of delivery method. The next step in the process is to plan your agenda. Think of your agenda as the outline to your facilitation plan, which should include the topics, activities, timings, and materials for each session or lesson. So if you have multiple sessions or lessons within your facilitation plan, make sure to outline that with your agenda and make it clear. The key to planning your agenda is to ensure there is a logical flow, clear direction, and a smooth transition between the topics. In addition, you should consider how to introduce yourself and how you will be facilitating, the ground rules and expectations, how time and energy will be managed, how to facilitate discussions and feedback, along with how to close the session or lesson, and any follow-up that is needed. I have found in my personal experience that when I create a facilitation plan and then it becomes something that is played out and it comes to fruition, that it's amazing. When you plan it out and you have all of these elements in place, it makes it so much easier for you as the facilitator. And even if you're handing it off to someone else to facilitate as well, when you do a train the trainer, that can even make it beneficial as well. So what's nice about follow-up, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Follow-up is really beneficial because whenever you're planning for a training, think of ways that you can have something tangible or like a next step that your learners can take with them with that training. Because the last thing you want is to be able to have a training and everything is great. Your learners are on fire for it and they love it. And then you find out weeks or months later that your learners are not implementing what you've taught them, or they're only doing part of it. So if you have something where you can have a takeaway or something that they can do following the session, and then you can loop back around and check with them, that is great. So make sure to kind of plan that within your agenda, ways that you can check back in with your learners and make sure that they are implementing what you have taught them. The final step in the process is to prepare your materials. The materials are the resources and equipment that you need to successfully facilitate your session or lesson, such as slides, handouts, flip charts, markers, sticky notes, and cards, to name a few. So not only do you want to think of the software, like your actual PowerPoint presentation or something that you create in Canva, for example, but you want to think of those tangible materials and equipment as well, especially if you're delivering your presentation or your training in person. You want to make sure that you have everything laid out that you need and that your learners need for a successful training or lesson. Make sure to prepare your materials in advance of the session or the lesson. It is also a best practice to check the quality and functionality of your materials and ensure you have enough copies and backups for your learners. The last thing you want is to have 20 copies of something where you are giving them a handout and then come to find out you have 30 learners in your training or in your lesson, right? You don't want that because then you're short, you have to have some share, and that's not effective. I also came across something. I'll give an example. When I used to work for a company where I did instructional design and I also helped with train the trainer, I would go into the training with the trainer and I would observe and I would see how the training was going. And that way I could document and kind of take down notes and see what areas were working really well with the training that I helped to design and where some areas maybe where there were hiccups or areas that weren't as clear that I needed to take note of so I could make changes later on down the road with that material. And this particular trainer, it was done in person And they had all their materials and it was great. And they handed out this worksheet for their learners to do. And they had markers that they wanted to have their learners kind of mark on. And they also had them do this activity where they wanted them to go in groups and then write on this poster paper. Well, the markers, they didn't have enough markers. And then come to find out, half of the markers were all dried up. So the learners didn't even have all the tools that they needed. And so had the trainer actually planned ahead of time and tested out all the materials and actually went through the markers and made sure that they were not dried out and that they were working as intended, then that wouldn't have happened. And so it was a little bit embarrassing for the trainer. Everyone seemed to be, you know, kind of laughing about it, and it didn't seem that big of a deal. But then they had to go into another training room and they had to go grab markers from somewhere else. So it just delayed it a little bit. So that's a good example of an instance where planning is so important. Another best practice is to test your materials in the venue or platform that you will use to ensure they are accessible and user-friendly for your learners. So this might be, for example, if you are going to be delivering your training in person, or if you're going to be delivering it online, it's always a good idea ahead of time just to check and make sure that your technology and your materials are working as intended, and that if you have any problems, that you can follow up with the IT department or with the AR, VR department, anybody, you know, however it needs to be taken care of. So you want to make sure that that's taken care of ahead of time. And I would also just kind of like to finish this part off with saying that if you're planning to deliver your training to your learners online, I would highly recommend recruiting at least one individual who can help you manage the technology, such as fielding questions in the chat or Q&A space. And if there's any breakout activities that you have planned, that person can also help you with that. This will allow you as the facilitator to focus on delivering the content to your learners while also providing your learners with the opportunity to ask questions along the way. In the past, I have been the one doing the facilitating, and I've also been the one doing the technology. And although sometimes it can work out well, when you have a lot of elements coming together, like I mentioned, with managing that technology, especially the Q&A space, breakout activities, and things like that, it can sometimes be a little bit challenging, and you're trying to stay focused on delivering the content, and then you have to also manage the technology. It can be a little bit difficult. Some people have pulled it off. I've pulled it off before, but I would just recommend doing that if you can, if it's possible. Now that you have completed the steps to create your facilitation plan and materials, it may be beneficial to review and make any adjustments as necessary before the session or the lesson occurs. One thing to remember is that a facilitation plan is not a fixed document, as I mentioned earlier, but a flexible guide that can change depending on the situation. You should plan to review and adjust your facilitation plan before, during, and after your facilitation, based on the input received from your learners, stakeholders, and even yourself, because you can give yourself feedback too. In addition, you should also evaluate your facilitation plan following any session or lesson to reflect on what worked well, what didn't, and what you can do to improve for the next time. Because as we know, there's always room for improvement. I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but if I mentioned it again, that's important, right? Now that you have learned about how to create an effective facilitation plan, materials, and the importance of reviewing and adjusting along the way, here are some other tips and practices I would like to share regarding the benefits of creating a facilitation plan and how you can make your sessions or lessons successful. First, prepare your facilitation plan and materials well in advance of the first session or lesson, if possible. Next, practice your session or lesson with a facilitation plan at least once or twice to help ensure things run smoothly and make any adjustments as needed. I can tell you that it's a rare thing that I haven't had to make adjustments to my facilitation plans in the past. When I've practiced, I've made adjustments. Even in this podcast that I'm doing, I have show notes And when I outline my notes, I'm making adjustments along the way. Nothing is ever perfect right out of the gate. So it's okay that you make adjustments. As I mentioned earlier, if your facilitation plan and materials rely heavily on technology, it might be wise to recruit someone who can assist you with the technology during your session or lesson. This can help you to focus on your facilitation skills and not be overwhelmed by trying to do too much. Finally, be willing to adapt and stay flexible with your facilitation plan and materials based on feedback received and any changes that arise in the future. I hope you have found this information about the benefits of creating a facilitation plan helpful as you create engaging and relevant learning experiences. As a recap, this episode covered the following areas: know your purpose, understand your audience, choose your methods, plan your agenda, prepare your materials, review and adjust, and other things to consider. As I conclude this episode, I would like to share an inspiring quote from Malcolm X. "Education is our passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to the people who prepare for it today." Thank you for taking some time to listen to this podcast episode today. Please take a moment to like the episode and share it with others so they can learn about this topic as well. Have a great day.